This is Amateur Logic, episode 214, for February 13th, 2026. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between, when the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Friday the 13th edition of Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Tommy.
I'm you.
And I'm Mike.
And it's great to be back again.
This is the Camp Crystal Lake POTA edition, right?
Oh, it is.
I think so.
So the only exciting things are going to happen tonight.
It could be dipoles in those woods.
Could be.
Might be your last contact.
Wow, February, about the middle of it. The weather's just been back and forth here. Came back up its mind. But today was pleasant.
Yeah, today was really nice.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Tommy, what will you be telling us about on tonight's show?
Well, there was a ham fest recently, and
There was.
Remember that?
And there were some hams there.
There were a bunch of hams there. I actually got a little bit of loot from there, brought for show and tell.
Okay.
And anyway, basically that. That's about all I've been up to since last week.
I think email probably brought some loot too.
What's he talking about?
The only thing I bought was, or did you buy the bottle of water for me? I don't remember now.
I was trying to put a little dent in the debt from Xenia or Dayton, so it's not working.
No, it's not. Mike, you're this much slacker.
I am, and it's probably just as well because I've been swamped. And tonight, we're still getting snow, by the way. I drove home in a blizzard, so I don't know what kind of groundhogs are forecasting the weather, but I don't know. 6 weeks, that was like 2 weeks ago, so I got 4 weeks to bring a spring, and I don't know if that's going to happen at this point.
It looks pretty nice out there behind you right now.
Yeah, well, that's the magic of green screen.
Email, you've got a few things you're going to be telling us about tonight for sure.
Yeah, besides the weather being pleasant, actually, for a change. Now, here this weekend might rain us through, but I have several things in my segment tonight on some updates on the Pi fronts. A new piece of software with the changes happening in the clock industry, so to speak, and the receiver.
Okay. And since nobody else chose to do it this month, or maybe last month, I've got some cheapness tonight. I've got a cheap hack. Yeah.
It good did, bands, by the way.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
I got permission for the certification mark on it, too.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Whoa.
So, we'll be looking at that here shortly. But first up, on my official rundown here, there's a note here that says, Mike and memory shortage. Do you care to expand, Mike?
I can't remember what that's about.
Well, if you remember, I think it was it last month or the month before, I did a news article on you better get if you're planning on buying a notebook or anything with computer memory in it, you better buy it now because the price is going to go up. Well, I found an article this week which goes into more detail about why the price of memory has gone up. Like, I remember years ago when I was working for Radio Shack, fab factories would mysteriously burn up overnight. And of course, that would send the price of RAM chips skyrocketing. But it, in this case, this time around, it's all due to the flood of AI and the huge data centers that are supporting AI, which is driving the memory up in terms of price. Of course, it's all based on supply and demand. I won't go into all the details there, but it all started with COVID, like a lot of other things. And you can read more about it. I've posted the links up above, and it's kind of an interesting read, but basically it's all driven by GPUs and AI.
I wonder if it's got anything to do with the SD cards going up. I noticed they've gotten a little bit more pricey.
I haven't heard about flash RAM going up. Just the, you know, the dynamic RAM because of the AI data centers. But that's interesting. I haven't purchased any lately, so I don't know.
We'll have to keep an eye on that, if you'll remind me.
Keep an eye on the SD card prices?
Yeah.
You're not going to remember.
Yeah, well, it's a memory shortage.
Well, I can tell you the best time to buy SD cards is Black Friday or Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait that long.
No, I usually time out mine where I'm paying maximum price for them.
You better go ahead and buy them right now, then.
Okay.
Yeah, I usually stockpile them in the fall there around, like I said, Black Friday or Cyber Monday.
Amazon Prime Day is usually pretty good, too.
Because, you know, eventually you're going to need them, so.
Let's take a look at this. I would say we need to set it up, but since it is a setup.
Here we are at the Capital City Ham Fest again, another year for 2026. Ran into George.
Hello, W5JDX.
Yep, I'm Tommy M5ZNO. Then we ran in, I heard something squeaking. I thought I was going to have to go find some WD-40, but I found a cheap guy here. Cheap old man to meal. Oh, you got your wallet with you. Okay. You got more than a dollar in there?
No, not really.
That's okay. George will cover you for your lunch, like in Dayton.
Still got the pork chop sandwich on the IOUs.
Yeah. So this is Saturday. We came a little while last night. So I bought an antenna. They didn't have it in stock, but I did pay for it here, so that counts, right?
Yeah, that counts.
It'll be shipped to my house. And I'm sure you guys will see more about that. What did you buy, Emil?
Nothing yet. I'm trying to hold that reputation that's been damaged.
You may as well give that up.
He did offer me a hot dog as consolation for the pork chop sandwich that he owes me, but I didn't bite.
Well, that's better than nothing.
I don't know.
The day's still young.
That is true. The day is still young. But actually, what time is it? It's probably around noon. Yeah, it's around lunchtime anyway, so I guess we're gonna have something to eat here at a meal on the meals dollar.
I'm buying.
So you got anything on your shopping list?
I do, man. I've seen several things here y'all have on the tables. Lots of good used stuff and selections, and there's a PC that I'm kinda looking to dedicate some WinLink things to. And there's a receiver. I don't know if you remember the old ICOM computer connected receivers, the 100 and 1000. I see there's a vendor here with both of them.
Yeah, I saw that.
That was a serial port on there?
Yeah, serial port connectivity. And, wow. I remember it's kind of like the pre-SDR USB generations.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You get that out, like see it get hooked up and used.
Yeah. The only thing I have bought is... Well, 2 years of ARRL membership, because they had that deal. You could get a free handbook if you renewed for 2 years.
Yeah, I actually also did that, and I got the antenna book, so we'll just have to swap up sometime.
But it's not over yet, and there is a lot of neat stuff on the tables back here. I've got to take one more round and see. I had my eye on some used antenna switches. You can always use another coax switch, you know, so...
Did you find some here?
I found some. I haven't found the one yet, but I'm honing in on it. I'm getting closer.
Circling it?
Circling it, yep.
Well, cool. All right, I guess you have anything else you want to add, Emil, before we cut?
You know, I was looking for a good meter, too, some test meter stuff. I see a lot of bird equipment out there on the tables, but I was looking for a fluke. Didn't see too much, but like you said, I'm going to be circling the tables again at least one more time.
A fluke if you find one of those here.
I saw a fluke last night, a desktop, a bench style, that looked maybe to consideration.
Usable, yes. Yeah. That's good.
All right, well, let's go ahead and see what we can get.
All right. And I never did find that antenna switch I was looking for. I found some.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, they look kind of abused.
Yeah.
Were you looking for manual switches or?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I just.
The only ones that I know of are either Dewa or who's the other one?
Alpha Delta.
Alpha Delta. Yeah, that's the other one.
Yeah.
They're about the only two left around, I think.
Yeah, well, there's some Chinese ones that MFJ was selling that a lot of people sell now with different names on them. But I just wanted something for routing around here in the shack, basically. But I didn't find what I was looking for, so I'll look in Dayton because I think that'll be the next Ham Fest for me. Tommy, did you have a news item that
I did.
You wanted to present tonight?
I did, and I still do. ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, is inviting clubs to participate in the second annual Ham Radio Open House in April. Hosting an open house gives clubs and schools the opportunity to promote amateur radio science and technology by opening their stations to the public and showcasing their high-tech gear and operating skills.
Okay.
It's centered around World Amateur Radio Day on Saturday, April the 18th, but clubs may schedule open house at any time during the month. So, anyway, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I have not read that yet, so I need to go back.
Yeah. And... So, anyway, there'll be a link in the show notes for it if you want to check it out. It's encouraged to use things like POTA and things like that.
And where might someone find those show notes?
amateurlogic.tv/wiki.
Okay.
The usual suspect location.
Okay. I will go there and then I'll read it and see.
Okay.
Because I have not read that yet, but sounds interesting. And we do have a club.
We do have a club.
Email.
I'm sorry, man. You want some Tylenol?
Yeah.
Put your cheek. Back when I got my first ham ticket in 1991, there were not a lot of different choices for what type of connectors we might use with our rigs. This is the one that I chose back then. These are often used for trailer connections on your vehicle, one thing or another. But there were some hams using them, and that's what I chose because they had good heavy gauge wire on them, good enough to use with a 50-watt rig. I used these exclusively for quite a while, and eventually I heard of the Anderson Power Pole, and a lot of people were using them and recommending them. I had never used them before, so I thought I would give them a try, and I kind of like them. They're pretty good connectors. You have to assemble them yourself. You can buy cables that already have them on there, and that's a good option. If you want to put them together yourself, you get the shells and the little pins that go inside there. You want to make sure that you've got the right ones to fit the gauge of wire that you're going to use. These particular ones right here are rated for 40 amps. I couldn't tell you exactly what size of wire they take right off. I just have to try a piece and see. But these are the ones I use most of the time. You've got the little shells, and you've got the little pins here that you stick your wire in the hole in the end here, and then you crimp the wire down. Now, that's where you could run into problems right there. I've seen these sold before as Anderson Power Pole crimpers. These are not.
you might could get them to work. I did manage to put on some connectors using these. They weren't great. I also tried some of these that I had. These are just regular old crimpers. I couldn't find any that had the right die size in them to really fit this. So that didn't work out too good either. And then I finally just broke down and spent the extra money and bought a set of real crimpers for this job. You can see they've got the correct die sizes. Even got the sizes mentioned here, 15, 20, or 45 amp connectors. These work great, and I've been able to put them on much more successful using the correct pair of crimpers. Now, these are not the only ones that would do it, but these from West Mountain Radio are certainly a good choice. That's not what I'm going to show you today, because we've already done videos in the past on how to install Anderson Power Pole connectors. What I'm going to do today is show you a little hack, because once you've got the pins installed, you slide these together. There's a little tab right there, a little slot in one side of the connector. And you just push them together firmly till they both come to the same length. And that's your connector. And then you can just plug that in to another power pole connector. And there you go. You want to be sure you get the polarity correct when you slide them together, so that red goes to red and black goes to black. Not like what we're seeing right there. There's a little hole right here in the middle. You can see that. These things will still slide apart after you put them together. So you want to be careful. They make a roll pin that you can fit these together with. This is one from Anderson Power Pole. There's also some others from Power Works. You're going to pay about a dime a piece or more for that little roll pin that goes in there. And I've seen some reviews that say the pins are too stiff. When you put the pin in there, it's going to push these two connectors apart, which is not a great deal either. I've got another solution, though, because I've never seen those pins for sale anywhere at a Hamfest that I've bought the connectors before. But here's a quick trick that you can use to create your own retainer pins for your Anderson Power Poles. Here's one right here. I already got the wire installed, just the little hole here in the center. Well, you could put a small tie wrap through there and tie it back, and that would kind of hold them together. The reason that's important is because these things will slip around to where they're not the same length, and when you make them together, you may not be getting a good connection, and you certainly don't want that. So what can we use in here if we don't have the roll pins? I'm glad you asked. This is a spool of Craftsman weed eater string, 0.095 inches or 2.4 millimeters. This stuff is just the right size. Now, this particular one is not completely round. There's like little rough edges here, kind of square it up and makes it supposedly a little better at cutting grass. Well, we're not wanting to cut grass here. We're just wanting something that fits this hole. And it just happens that this is the perfect size to go through there. Now, it does slide around a little bit, but we can take care of that. What I'll do is just push the line down completely flat on the edge here. Take a pair of diagonal cutters. I'll pull it out just a little bit into the hole, not much. I'm gonna cut it off as snug as I can. And now I've got that in there. It will likely stay, but to make sure it does, let's just push it out a little bit. Got a little bit sticking out there. Take a pair of needle nose pliers. Flatten it down. Now push it back through. And do the same thing on the other side. Crimp that down where it's kind of flat. Push it back through. And now that's not likely to come out. And it's going to give us a good method of keeping these two connectors exactly the right length and paired with each other. So there you go, a quick Anderson power pole hack that will help keep your connectors in line with each other. And it didn't cost anything because you might be able to find this laying around out in the yard where some came off the end of the trimmer. Now, I can't say that all different brands of this stuff are going to work. This is just what I happen to have, and it seemed to work good. So 0.095 inches or 2.4 millimeters. If you got some, try it and see.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
That'll learn you for being so cheap not to trademark your cheap old ham.
I did seek permission.
Yes. Yeah. The cheap AI bot approved the usage. Yes.
I mean, he was wanting to charge me an old pork chop sandwich for that usage, but I explained to him that it didn't cost anything, and as a matter of fact, I had to pick up the trash. But actually, I did buy the string, but you know, I had it
you
anyway.
You could find it in the yard. You were right.
You could find it in the yard, and you may have to, you know, if you don't have a weed eater. just if you see a piece laying, just check it, see if it fits the hole.
Or distract your neighbor while he's weed whacking his lawn.
Yeah. But those, have y'all ever seen the little roll pins for sale to go in those?
No, I've never seen them for sale.
Yes, but like they had them at the Jackson Ham Fest, but they were part of that kit. They had to buy the whole Power Works the crimper, with the everything in it. So they always sell it in those little plastic cases.
Wouldn't a place like Harbor Freight have those?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Anyway, I got weed eater string. I don't need it.
Those roll pins would be used probably for like trailer bearings, I would think.
There's a lot of different sizes of them. I don't know. You can buy them for like a dime a piece if you buy a pack of 25. But, you know, that's a dime, Emil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's pretty expensive when you got some roll of weed eater string.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I never really thought about using weed eater string. It's a good idea.
I want to say somebody sent me an email or told me that a number of years ago, and I just never tried it, and it just happened to remember. Because I have had trouble with those things, you know, getting out of line a little bit. And I'm a little nervous about the power poles. I wouldn't use them for a lot of years because, you know, you got metal contact on one side, and then the backside's plastic. And if that gets hot, that's going to be a bad connection.
I've had that happen on my 5100.
You have?
Yeah, it burned a set of them up. It melted the power pole, the red and the black.
Email, I rest my case.
There you go.
It was the radio I got had been, they were already installed when I got it. And I don't know whoever put them on. Maybe they were bent, didn't have a good connection, but they sure burn up. I cut them off, put new ones on there, hadn't had any more trouble, but still.
Yeah, well, that's another thing about having the right crimper. When I was using that first pair I showed you there and making my own, it was difficult to get the pins to fit exactly where they should in those connectors because they're a little wonky.
Yeah. I bought a good pair of crimpers.
Yeah.
They were pricey, but I actually bought the cheap pair first. Never got tired of grunting and vein popping out on my forehead trying to crimp them. So I went ahead and just broke down and bought the others.
Now, we wasn't going to have any hernias trying to.
Well, it could happen.
It's a, it, yeah. I haven't adopted to Anderson power poles yet. I'm a holdout on those.
Well, I was a holdout for years.
I'm not a huge fan of them, honestly. Yeah. I like those XT60s.
Yeah, you know, they're nice.
Use. Yeah.
I still use five-way binding posts because I don't need to solder. I don't need to crimp them. I just strip the wire, shove it in the hole, and tighten a whatever the ferrule or the nut, the plastic nut.
Yeah.
So I don't know. To each their own, I guess.
We saw a number of friends at the Hamfest this year.
Yeah.
Of course, email was there, and it was good to see you again. Now that you are a Mississippi ham, you know you can write that off on your taxes.
Oh, nice.
No, I don't know about that.
Actually, don't you have to actually have income to pay taxes?
Not always, no. We saw another friend, though, that, we actually visited with him a day or so before the Ham Fest and shot some footage that you have not seen yet, not what we're about to watch, but... It's always good to visit with your pals at the Ham Fest, isn't it, Tom?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Well, here we are at the Capital City Ham Fest again, or still. Ran into old friend Ray. How you doing, Ray?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
We're hanging in there. That's George hadn't really bought too much yet. The cheap old man, Emil's over there behind the camera. To keep with his name, his moniker, his reputation, he hadn't bought anything either.
I'm the exact same way. So I haven't bought anything either.
You haven't? Well, I did. I bought an antenna from a chat radio guy. And then I renewed my ARRL membership I mentioned earlier to these guys. But anyway, it's been a fun Ham Fest. It's starting to clear out a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And I just finished spending an hour in the ARRL seminar. So I'm glad to hear that you renewed. Dave, come here, Dave. We got to get... Got to get David Norris in here. With-
Hello. Good evening. Just had a very successful ARRL forum. We had a guest from West Gulf Division come and talk to us about our legislative agenda going on. And Ray was had some good discussion going on within the meeting today.
Yeah, it's kind of hard for me to keep my mouth shut. Did I even raise my hand or did I just blurt it out?
No, you just blurted it out like you always do. So.
But Tommy just said he renewed his ARRL membership.
That's good, Tommy. We appreciate that. Everybody else should do that.
Yeah,
that's,
well, George did, too.
George did, too. George, we appreciate you doing that. And it's very important that we keep our ARRL membership going. The league is doing things for amateur radio in Washington, D.C., which we just discussed a while ago. So let's get everybody involved. Please join the league. It's all we have. We do advocate for amateur radio.
And I can't say that I've renewed because I got a lifetime membership a few years back. So
you and me both. I've got a lifetime membership, and, you know, it always renews. Thank you.
And how long have you been a member?
Oh, gosh, going back till 1978. There may have been a gap in there somewhere, 77, 78. That's been a bit. I'm coming up on 50 years.
And how old were you?
I was about 14, 15 when that happened.
Okay, so what does the ARRL have that would intrigue a 14-year-old?
There's an association, you know. You've got friends, you've got lifetime relationships that you build, and there's a lot of good things going on at the league that Mr. Steve Goodgame's doing with his education program, and we're getting youth involved. We've got several efforts put forth for the youth with our college initiatives and with our school initiatives. So, you know, it's a good place to go. It's a good hobby. It's a lifetime learning experience, and it gives you a leg up in STEM. Believe me, if you're going to be an engineer or go into the sciences, there's not a better place to learn the basics than amateur radio. It gives you the practical aspects of it. Well, if it wasn't for amateur radio, I wouldn't be an engineer today.
Now, when you think about it, poli-sci is a course studies. But you guys have got your own thing. What is it? Ham-sci?
Ham-sci, yes, indeed. That's something new that we've got going on, and I think it's going to bear some very good fruit.
So there you go. 14 years old. There's different organizations tied to the ARRL, like ARIS, Amateur Radio on the International Space Station, and so many different things that can get youth involved. So the ARRL is just not for the old folks.
That's exactly. We're looking for young members. Like I say, we like to recruit kids from age 8 to 80. Thank you very much.
All right. Sorry, Tommy, to take the microphone. That's all you've been doing is passing it. So.
No, that's okay, man. It's good. That's good stuff. I'm glad you brought all that up. But the ARRL, it's a great thing for a ham. It's a sense of community, people, like-minded people. There's a lot of good things going on, too, like you mentioned. And there's also some help resources for hams that run into trouble, some L-Marine type resources absolutely. And things like
volunteer,
that.
We have volunteer councils. We got volunteer consulting engineers. So there's a lot of aspects that go with membership. There's benefits out there. There's insurance for your equipment and for your club. We'd check it out, please. Join the league.
Yeah, I would encourage that.
And I know I've talked to hams that come up to me at shows and talk about, well, my radio might have got a lightning strike. What do you recommend? Well, if you don't have it, go get the ARRL insurance. That way your equipment would get replaced.
That's right.
But it's too late after the lightning strike. Get it before it happens.
Don't rely on your homeowner's insurance alone. It may cover it. Then again, it may not.
Yeah, it's kind of iffy these days, isn't it? Everybody's looking for a loophole to get out of paying for something.
You know what? I almost feel like Nick Saban. You could be Deion Sanders, and where's that little duck that quacks? Don't rely. Oh, there he is right there. Don't rely on your regular insurance.
That's right.
You don't want to have that gap.
That's right. And I can tell you horror stories about hams that have had strikes, didn't have the league insurance, and only got paid $500 for that $6,000 radio that they may have lost.
So anyway, go check out the ARRL. That's sounds like a good thing.
Get the microphone away from me. We'll go and do different things.
So anyway, we saw you yesterday. Did a little video on a new updated radio.
Yeah, the V3500B. I call it the blackout. The beautiful color display on it.
Yeah, that's a good-looking display. It's a nice radio. I wasn't actually familiar with that radio before, but it looks like a nice one.
It's got its niche for the people that just operate two-meter only. So a lot of two-meter only operators out there because that's all they've got in their area.
Right, yeah. And that's what I started out with, two-meter, just plain old two-meter radio.
Rural America really doesn't do a whole lot with 440.
Two-meter has a lot better coverage than 440 in the rural areas anyway.
Oh, yeah. But in a city, the 440 has a lot more wiggle power.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway, I guess it's good to see you. We're going to see you again. Are you going to bring another radio down soon?
That is my goal, yeah, especially after forgetting the one that I wanted to come down and shoot. So.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that one. We had to get the crime scene tape out so we can tie you up when you get that one down here.
There you go. Probably after the Orlando Ham Fest.
Okay. Oh, cool. It's good to see you.
Great to be here.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Good to see George behind the camera.
George behind the camera. Duck.
There you go.
There he is.
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Very good. Thanks, guys.
What are you doing over there, Emil?
Looking at Wally. Look. I got proof. Got evidence?
Yep. It says it right there in blue and gray.
I mean, it's in writing.
Yeah.
I got to say something about the ARRL. I almost can credit them for me getting my CW or code Morse code portion of my when I wrote my exam because I used to listen to the they used to broadcast, the code tests or the code sequences over the air. And I used to listen on a receiver and copy CW.
Yeah, they
still on?
Do.
Oh, yep. Good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good organization. They're about the only ones around that kind of fight for the ham rights here in this country. So try to support them when they can.
Yep. Email.
George.
I've got a letter here from you that I haven't read this one either, so I will have to look in the show notes after the show to find out where I can read this as well. But interesting information here. I'm sure you should be able to explain the whole thing to us in a nutshell.
No, I'm not even going to try, but I'll at least put the news out there. If you're a VE, there's some changes that are happening on the general test and some questions that are being removed in general on the due to, one, the changes of the 60-meter band, which went into effect yesterday, 13th. So I'm sure people have been reading, because I see the chats and the forums and the discussions and the arguments about what it actually means. So there is a link right there you can go to go find out. Even the ARRL system says this is confusing, but okay, here's the details. But I figured it was particularly relevant to Ham College, so that, you know, I don't know how far you all, Dean Martin and Professor Thomas, away from the general class. I know you're still in the tech, I think. But when you get there, there's some changes. So heads up.
Yeah, I did read that far into it, and I saw that it was talking about the general and the extra exam and not the technician. So we skirted by that one, didn't we?
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, that 60-meter allocations are a little – it's not as straightforward as it once was.
No. And some of the rigs, you know, like I remember having the 897D at one time, and they had channels assigned, because that's how it was. It was channelization rather than the VFO just spinning the knob through it. But now we can do that in certain spots, and there are some things left over. The power levels have changed. It is a change for sure.
Yeah. Good band, though. It used to be years ago when we first got it, and I could hear people talking on it quite often. Now I never hear anything there but data, if I even go to that band. But
yep, lots of data.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be back in just a moment, because we've got more left.
Stick around. Any ham radio conversation, and ICOM is bound to come up. The reason is straightforward: solid receivers, clear audio, and a layout that feels natural the second you start operating. These radios are made for real on-the-air time, whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between. When the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. Remote-ready, contest-capable, and built for serious signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio. The IC7760 HF 50 MHz digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1KW HF 50 MHz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output performance, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote control serves as an extra control head, and up to 5 can be registered to the RF deck, though only 1 can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. Together, they redefine what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. The IC7300 MK2 builds upon everything operators loved about the original IC7300, elevating it to a sharper, cleaner, and more capable HF experience. Its improved RMDR, lower phase noise, enhanced cooling, and expanded I/O options make it the next level performer for serious operators who want crystal clear reception, rock solid transmit quality, and modern conveniences that fit today's operating styles. Also, check out Sirius Performance for Sirius operators with the IC9700 VHF UHF 1.2 GHz all mode transceiver. For more information about ICOM's great amateur radios, contact icomamerica.com/amateur today.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic.
Absolutely.
Thanks, ICOM.
Email, you have some open source stuff here to talk about. So that is free. But you had that to balance those scales a little bit. So why don't you just jump on into the free stuff and let the chips fall where they may.
All right. So I'm sure lots of hams have heard that the Ham Clock Project owner or runner has passed away.
Elwood Downey?
Was that?
Elwood Downey?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Was it Clear Sky website, I believe it was?
Clear Sky Institute. And,
yeah, so they did put a message out on their site that most of the stuff that's behind it or updates and et cetera will stop this year. I think it's in May or June. I forget exactly what the dates are. So I went looking for a better or a replacement or something else that was happening and stumbled upon an open source web and project to use on my Pi. And just so happened to have to update the Pi as well on the same thing. So I kind of bundled them into one video and one segment.
Well, hello, George, Tommy, Mike, Amateur Logic TV viewers. In this episode, I'm going to revisit and tell you about some updates I've employed here on the Raspberry Pi 5. I don't know if you remember with the SSD M.2 hat a while back. There's been some updates in the OS with some aesthetics and some changes to their control, or if you're a Windows user, control panel options. So several things have changed on the front, and figured I'd visit a few of them. One of the more noticeable items to me right off the bat was the change in themes. I switched to a dark theme here, like I do on so many of my PCs. And that is one of the major changes they've made in Trixie, where the themes, the look, there's some 4K items for the pictures and the backgrounds. They've upped the resolution on some of their normal stuff we're all used to seeing on the Pis. And there's also a control center, which I thought was very interesting. So there's a new control panel, if you're familiar with Windows type app, that allows you to change all of the settings on the system in one spot rather than having a few different icons to go through. And so everything's kind of right here for you for all these settings now on the look and feel and displays, etc. Getting much better at multiple display handling as well in the themes. Which is the first thing I've caught right off the bat is the dark theme versus the light theme. And you can see that on the desktop. The background changes. Even when you lock the Pi with the lock key sequence, even that screen is impacted by that, which I thought was pretty neat. Getting that going in there. There you go. So the look and feel right off the bat. Of course, they've always had these little CPU temperature and GPU percentages available there. If you didn't know that, if you go mess with the bar, the start bar, or the if you want, whatever you want to call it. So you could always get a good, that gives me a good idea of what's happening on the, especially when the fans kick up there, when the fans kick up, you'll kind of want to know what's going on. You can go and open up one of those and see tasks and things. So, but the look and feel of it, they've also made some changes to Bookshelf, the actual application that loads the Pi official magazines and what have you. So that's a pretty neat thing because you can go back and get all of these past issues, the current issues, and books. There's books in there too. With their reader. So they made some changes to this reader on the help or bookshelf, as they call it. So I'm going to have to go play with that some more, but it is a difference along with Control Center. And of course, to get it, I'm just pull down a new image. One of the different things I did this time was actually use their network boot. You load it through the BIOS off the internet, and then it runs it from there, basically. That's the first time I did that on these, and it worked flawlessly from what I saw. There was no issues, even with the hardware that's in there. The of course, it's one of their cards, right? The Pi Hat, the M.2 Hat Plus. So it's supported by them. So, of course, it's probably a part of all of the images out there. But it did work flawlessly. Now, moving away from the Pi a little bit, I'm sure some of you have heard the news that the HamClock project will be shutting down one of their servers that they use to distribute the system and updates, etc., because the owner passed away, or the project leader. So I'm sure there'll probably be things out there to try to revive or keep that project going. However, one of the first things I found in searching was a site with the project OpenHamClock, openhamclock.com. And that is a very impressive, in this case, web-based client. I just popped it into full screen mode here. But you can also run it local as well. If you get it from GitHub and put it on, it's very not running very nicely on the Pi 5 8 gig server here or computer. But there's some really neat things about this interface. Again, this is a web client. I did not install anything. I set up my settings, told it what I wanted to see on the maps. And there's a weather overlay in the background. You can kind of see the radar signatures there. So if you get in kind of close, you can see that it's overlaying some weather information. And there's all sorts of configurations behind this in each one of these panels you see on the left and the right, and of course your on call. So I thought that was worth a look. And sure enough, I like the information that's on it. You can turn on and off layers and things that you don't want. And it's also got the dark mode versus regular or other layers. So very configurable and very, from what I can see, all the data is right in it. I'm going to have to go do me some PSK reporter stuff to push some whisper hits out, because I think you can show just where you're being heard. It'll do it automatically for you. So it's all kind of stuff in here. I'm going to be playing with it some more, no doubt, and probably stick this out into the shack to see if it can't supplement my station that's coming together out there. So neat stuff. Check that out. Something else on the radar on this side is a little AM/FM shortwave and internet radio receiver I picked up from a chat radio vendor at the Jackson Ham Fest in Mississippi, which is an interesting interface I'm learning to use this radio, and to the way you use it is a little different than what a lot of people would think. WRNO. It is integrated with internet radio index that they have online, and it's voice activated. It's integrated with AI, in fact, ChatGPT, so that their index can search and it recognizes English pretty well. I'm not going to lie.
A lot of people, really, the entry point here for them. Got a very good sound. Saber home.
There's three speakers under that grill. You can't really see.
Powerful Pepper projectiles to stop.
But this. This local radio station here, I found it right off the bat just by using that function. You can sort, you can find things by language or by the type of service it is. Just on the way you press and hold these buttons, you can also search those indexes by voice, because if their index, like I said, is integrated. You can also add sites of your own if you want online, but there's already like 44,000. In it. I haven't had to add yet, which is a good sign. And so far, this has been running for about a week on the one charge for battery. I think it's got an 18550 in back there in as a battery. And very nice controls and size. The format I've used it outside a few times. It found about 40 FM stations, and there's not many AM stations here, but I did see two or three where it found it from scans. And that is another part of this radio that I found impressive, was that it's one of the fastest scanning and preset types radios I've seen yet. But the sound is phenomenal on both the internet and FM bands, which you can change bandwidths on the AM side too in shortwave between 1 kilohertz and about 6 kilohertz, I believe, to open and close for the noise. So far, so good. And I'll keep using that one, see what other surprises. They update the firmware pretty regularly here. You can simply tell it to go look for or what version you're on, and it'll go and find updates and apply them with a a TF card, a little mini card that you put in there. And yes, that is a SIM slot for a data plan for a cell service, because it will also get data or stream from a data plan over the cell networks. Interesting things they're putting into this, so we'll see how well it goes as I use it. And but that's one I'll be looking at for quite a bit now, just to see how to customize it and what's the differences between running it in the web versus local. I'm sure I can serve probably as a website. We'll see. We'll check it out. But anyway, that one's the cheapest one. It's free. Although you can support them, of course, if you like. And that's it. KE5QKR. Keep it cheap.
Okay, Mel, I got a question. Now, I heard the audio coming out, I assume coming out of that radio. Was that captured with a microphone or a direct output or what? How did you capture that audio?
My phone. It was acoustic between my phone and it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it does sound pretty good then.
Uh-huh. It's got a lot more bass in person than it did in that video, just as I'm listening to it on a laptop here. But it is pretty decent sounding.
Well, we got a little subwoofer on the speakers we're listening to here, and it had good bass. And I was thinking, that's pretty little radio.
Yeah.
Small for that kind of bass. But yeah, cool.
I have a question for you, Mill. How many modes in terms of like AM, FM, does it do sideband at all? Or
yeah, it's a full general coverage receiver on the short waves, right? So it's all awesome, upper and lower, FM and AM, and on all of that, you have this little bandwidth button on the side of the radio, or actually it just changes the mode of the button depending on where you're at. So you can select different bandwidths for the audio passband, which I thought was
nice.
Neat. It's like 1.8, kind of like the standard, 1.8, 2.8, 3, and 6. It only went to 6, though, George, on the AM bands. I noticed that instead of 10.
Yeah.
So
And is that 6 kilohertz of audio bandwidth, or is that 3 kilohertz above and 3 below?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to dig into the specs.
Yeah, is it AF or IF bandwidth?
No, that's AF for sure. I was looking at that. Yeah.
Cool. Looks interesting.
And that'll keep you busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll keep you out of your XYL's hair.
Well, their index is neat in regards to the way they have it organized. It's not just radio stations. You can always put the call letters of it. Or you speak the call letters, but you can also just, it's kind of weird. You can kind of just talk to it and kind of describe what you want. And I found podcasts, there's ham radio, like the ham radio newsline. You know, if you say that, it's going to find it. It'll find it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it plays it back. The most recent update to their firmware was like 2 days ago, and they're adding more formats of the audio file formats that it can actually handle. So they're definitely proactively, I guess you could say, developing still.
Cool.
It'd be really cool if they added like the codecs for, say, D-Star and DMR.
I got an email, an actual email.
Get out of here.
Yeah. from our friend Joe Spinks, AA0KW. And he said, I found this on Amazon, and I just thought I would share it because we all need these, and if you don't, you're not building enough stuff. From Amazon, they've got the little double-sided PC boards, you know, with the holes already punched in it. These ones that he was showing here are all like single dots where, you know, you just stick your component through and run jumper wires between one pad and another there and put it all together. And I prefer the strip board type, but there was a wide selection. There's all kinds of them. Different colors.
There's ones that are just like the solderless breadboards.
Yeah. Look at there for 14 bucks.
For 30 of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
82 pieces for 10 bucks. You get the boards, you get some header pins, you get some terminal strips, some jumpers. So yeah, it's a lot of good
cheapness
building stuff there. But these are the ones that I like the best. These are called strip boards because instead of just single holes, they've got little strips where, you know, several things can be connected together. And I don't know, that's just the kind I like the best. But they've got those too, and cheap. And like this one right here, that mimics your experimenter board. You know, where you plug your components in, you could just take it directly off of that, and solder it onto a board here. So the stuff's cheap, you know, and
it's good to see a source for that stuff now that Radio Shack's gone.
Yeah. And
I actually got some of that stuff from the Radio Shack takeaway loop and they closed down.
Me too.
I've got a fair amount of it over here. I don't have one of those big giant kits, but I got enough to last a while, but I want to encourage you, you know, build you some stuff.
Yeah, make stuff.
Why not? You know, somebody needs to do it. It's a fun way to learn something, and you get some satisfaction out of it when you put something together and it doesn't smoke and it actually works.
I seem to remember a particular a repeater is on fire episode using breadboards.
Yes. Now, that was still on the experimenter board where you just plug the components in.
I would have transferred that over to one of those solder type ones.
And that particular project is still on an experimenter board over there. I have not decommissioned it. I just bought more experimenter boards because I didn't want to take it apart.
You didn't want to undo it.
But that's not the permanent way you want to leave your projects. You know, you need to transfer them to something with some real solder, like you mean it.
Yeah, I used to like those ones from Radio Shack. Sometimes they would come with those boards, but they were made to fit inside a plastic enclosure.
Yeah.
And they were kind of neat for that.
And Radio Shack would sell the little notepads that had the layout of the boards.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about those.
Draw your components on it. Tommy?
Good old Radio Shack.
The Hamfest did eventually end.
It did, barely. It did finally end.
Is there any evidence of that?
There is. Got it all documented.
Well, the Hamfest is winding down. I did all the damage I'm going to do to the bank account today. I haven't bought anything else since the last time I mentioned it. Still got my book and I got my antenna, but I haven't really bought anything else. How about you?
No, and the Hamfest is not the only thing running down. I am too. I hadn't really bought anything else. I've looked around. I've seen some things that I considered, but in the end, I'm going home empty-handed. Well, I do have this bottle of water, but email paid for it.
No way. You need to get a picture of that.
$5 right there. I didn't even know he had $5.
I think he might have a few more than five. He just not letting anybody know.
Yeah, he had 10 because he bought a Coke, and it was $5 too.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow, $5 bottle of water. That's pretty pricey.
It's some good stuff, man, I got to tell you.
I hope so.
Yeah. So
Good ham fest. That's pretty good turnout, I thought.
Yeah, it's been fun. I always come like to talk to the people. So I got to see a lot of people I haven't seen in years. Talked to Wayne Eubanks for a while, and talked to him twice, actually. Had a good chat with him and stuff, and a lot of people. It's been a lot of fun.
Glad to see the chat radio showed up here this year. That was good. They brought a lot of nice products with them.
Yeah, they've been pretty busy over there. That's actually who I bought my antenna from.
Yeah, I looked at some stuff. I hadn't left the building yet, but I don't know. I've got just about one of everything now.
You're wanting an antenna switch. I'm telling you, he can hook you up.
Yeah, I saw that. He had some, but it didn't have as many positions as what I was looking for.
How many are you looking for?
A bunch.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to find one with a bunch.
Yeah. I hadn't seen any listed that way, so I did see some old ones here with multiple positions, but I didn't know the condition of them, so I just held off.
Yeah, I saw those. They look pretty rough.
Yeah, some of them did. Some of them look homemade.
Well, cool. I think I'm going to head on out and go find me some lunch, and I don't know what I'm going to do after that. I'm going to find some lunch, and then I'll regroup.
Yep. I'm going to find some lunch, and then I'm going to find some supper a little later.
Well, that sounds like a good way to end the day.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, fun time here. If you get a chance next year, stop by the Capital City Ham Fest in Jackson.
Yeah, I actually did see a lot of people that knew us and talked to quite a few people from here. So, that's always fun. I appreciate you guys saying something to us, the ones that did. And anyway, we'll see you next time. 73.
73.
Nice.
Well, I got the evidence. I did not come home empty-handed. I actually spit something at the Ham Fest. Looking forward to putting this up. I got a Radio Waves 80-meter DX 1,500-watt, single-sideband 800-watt CW. It's a short 77-foot model. It's got a big, pretty nice little coil on there, so I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Yeah, you get that thing up, man, and we'll get emailed down there with his disc cone to listen to us on 80 meters, and we'll do a key down contest and see if the shortened antenna works.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it works. I'm sure it'll work some. I just don't know how.
Oh, well. I'm sure that with that resonator coil, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, it should be.
It might not give you the amount of bandwidth that you want, being that it's shortened, but I'm sure it'll work fine.
The tuner will give you the rest of the bandwidth.
Yeah.
I'll probably do a segment on it, test it out. Yep. Maybe.
Mike, you had a freebie you wanted to mention tonight.
I did, and it was really surprising. It was sent to me in an email, and it's from Ham Radio Deluxe. So basically, what it's telling you is anybody that has ever purchased a version of Ham Radio Deluxe is entitled to this free upgrade. And I guess the rationale behind it, I was reading on their website that the reason is it's kind of easier to support if everybody's on the same code base, as you probably can appreciate having programmer knowledge. So that's kind of the rationale why they're doing it. They kind of want everybody to upgrade. So even like myself, I kind of forgot what my key was, software key was. But if you go to that site, there's a link you can click on, and it will actually email you your product key. And I hadn't purchased Ham Radio Deluxe in a few years, and I was really surprised. It just within 5 minutes, I had an email and it said, oh, here's your license key. So you'll need that for after you download and install the new version. Otherwise, it's going to kind of operate in a demo mode.
Cool. That was cool. Always some great software.
Yeah. And Mike will be getting that link in the show notes along with email and his treasures from this episode.
It's already there.
I would
I guess
what was that Canada Award? Did y'all see that? They said they added Canada Award. What is Canada Award?
Oh, it must be a contest of some kind. I'm not familiar with that one myself.
Okay.
I think that gives us a full show here before we get out. Tommy?
I don't have too much else to add. It was pretty interesting. I liked all the segments and stuff. The tip from the weed eater string was kind of interesting. Would have never thought about that. I've always been worried about that, those sliding. Good to know.
Yeah, I think somebody mentioned that to me like 10 years ago, and I finally remembered it. So, better late than never, I guess. I'm looking forward to seeing you put this antenna up and how it works out.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to work and figure out what I'm going to do for my next segment. I'm going out of town. I don't know if I'm going to do it before or after.
Get out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway.
Well, the cold weather, we haven't had any lately, but don't let that hold you off.
It's actually really been nice weather. But yeah. I've had some other things.
Come on up here.
Nope.
Email.
So I got some parting words. George, I'm going to be enjoying this weather. It seems to be getting milder once we make it past the rains. And I guess I'll say happy Mardi Gras to everybody out there.
Fat Tuesday.
That's right. You got until Tuesday to get the heathen out.
We've had the worst time finding king cakes.
Really? Like a coworker used to tell me, you got to let her rip. Ones.
I think. That's one of the I think they're good ones.
They're looking for king cakes, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have king cakes up here.
Uh-oh.
We just have shroves. They come in shroves.
I'm Tuesday. Just afraid it'll take 2 weeks to get there again. You'll have petrified king cake.
Well, Mike, any final thoughts from the lake there?
Well, the only thing, I was feeling a little left out when everyone was talking about going to the Capitol Hamfest. So I actually placed an order for a new 40 meter to 10 meter coil, and I'm going to give HF Mobile a try.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
So
is there any wolves in that river?
I haven't checked to see if there's any wolves in the coil itself.
That looks awfully familiar.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of the short version of, well, let me turn it around the other way. It's kind of a short version of the one you have, Emil.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to work 80, you could just stick another one on top of it, I guess.
Yeah, actually, I thought about that. I mean, the thing is, it's kind of getting hard to find CB antennas, and I found one source over here for 102-inch whip, because those are kind of the things you don't want to be sending in the mail because they're so bloody long.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I had the other what's called the Silver Bullet, this is the Silver Bullet Mini. If I had the Silver Bullet, it would do 80 for sure with 102-inch whip.
Well, I got a little announcement here. February the 6th, which was a Friday, we were supposed to have done an episode of Ham College, and I had some work-related emergencies, some transmitter problems, some computer problems, one thing or another, and we had to cancel that show.
Yeah.
Dean Martin stepped up and posted with regrets on all the social media sites about that, but we're going to do a makeup exam. And that's coming up it's an unusual night for us to be doing a show, but...
Gotta do them when we gotta do them.
Yep. Monday, this coming Monday, February the 16th, will be the next episode of Ham College. We're studying for the technician exam, so if you're not a ham, we invite you to drop on in and come visit with us and study for your technician exam license. Or... if you would like to drag your mom and them over and tie them in the chair and, you know, make hams out of them, We'd be happy to oblige there as well. But
oh, and don't miss the chat room, because you're missing half the fun if you're not in the chat room.
And we don't even know which half it is. So
still haven't figured that out.
This coming Monday, February 16th, the next Ham College. I guess that's going to do it.
Square.
Yep.
I'll be there. It's a holiday for us up here.
It's a holiday here, too.
Is it Family Day?
It's President's Day.
President's Day.
Okay. It's Family Day for us. I guess there was enough complaints that we didn't have a statutory holiday in February when everybody's holed up in their house because it's wintertime.
So they added
Family Day. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, come join us soon.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah. All right. 7-3, everybody.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
7-3. 7-3.